The following program is a PodcastOne.com production.
Hey, real quick, before you listen to this podcast, if you're going to shop on Amazon, I want you to go to jmoore.com and click where it says Amazon. And all you do is get redirected to Amazon and then email me at morestories3737@gmail.com and email me what you bought and I'll read it right here on this podcast. That's the absolute best way to show me you're down, a Moorier from day one. Go to jmoore.com, click through Amazon. Doesn't cost you anything. Goes to my kid. Don't you want to help the kids? What about the kids? I hate when people, what about the kids? The kids can kiss my ass unless it's my kid.
Here at Podcast One, we love hearing from you. We read every tweet and comment you send our way. So don't miss your chance to take our summer listener survey. Just go to PodcastOne.com and click on the survey banner. Or go to PodcastOne.com/my survey. It only takes a few minutes, and it gives you the opportunity to make a direct impact on your favorite shows. Tell us how you really feel so we can get to know you better. We value your thoughts and participation. So check out the survey at PodcastOne.com/my survey. Or click on the survey banner on Podcast One. PodcastOne.com.
Put your name on it. Just put your name on it. That's all I say. Be a man or a woman. Put your name on it.
Well, I'd like to hear about it, pothead.
Look at the game change.
If you want a battle, it's either that you will or
you
won't.
You know, you're not a bad looking man, Mr. Gals.
But you are, Blanche. You are in that chair.
Bullshit. You didn't convince me. Let me see your real war face.
No, I thought you said that you are right, Spider.
Hey, man.
Not since Olden Polynes was here has there been a guy of such physical stature. Marcin Gortat. Are we rolling right now, right?
We are rolling.
Marcin Gortat, center, Washington Wizards. Best backcourt in basketball, really. One of them. Bradley Beal, John Wall, and my man holding it down in the blocks. Welcome to More Stories, brother.
How you doing?
You love the pride of Poland. What town in Poland are you from?
I'm from second biggest city in Poland, Łódź, and it's right on the middle of Poland. Literally, when you touch put a finger on the middle of my country, you're gonna touch my city. That's how great spot I have in Poland. Actually,
how do you spell Łódź?
L-O-D-Z.
Oh, L-O-D-Z.
And that's pronounced what? And it's pronounced in my language is Łódź because over L you have a little slash.
Show me. Yeah. This is great.
It's actually very difficult.
Either you're from Lodz, the pride of Lodz, Poland.
That's how you actually...
Oh, new letters.
It's like with a slash and Z with a little slash. Yeah, that's something you don't have in
the... And the almost in umlauts, like when Motley Crue has the two dots over the O.
Correct.
You got one of the dots over the O and the Z.
Right, right.
So everybody out there, like I got that shower curtain at the beach where it's like the world. I'm just going to put my finger in the middle of Poland and go, that's where my man Marcin is from.
That's where I'm from. Second biggest city right now.
What's the biggest city?
Warsaw, capital.
Ivan Putski was from Warsaw.
I heard about him. You know what? This is crazy. I never heard about Putski, that Polish hammer, the true, real Polish hammer. I never heard about him till I made it to States 10 years ago when I played for the Orlando Magic. And one of the guys actually told me about him that, you know, there was a Polish wrestler living in States and, you know, he had a pretty big career back then. I never heard of him being in Poland, obviously.
That seems like... As famous as he was here, like I'm from 47, so I'm like 12 years old, and he was the man.
So like I heard about it. I'm hoping that the Polish Hammer nickname that's stuck with me is not from him. I hope it's because
I didn't even know it was your nickname.
Yeah, I had two. The first one was the Polish Hammer. That's where it's
That's because of
started.
How you look in the shower. Polish Hammer over there.
No. I decided it's Polish Machine, which is
Polish Machine.
Yeah, it came from me. Came with me from Germany. That's where we started everything.
How weird is it to know like everybody knows how much money you make. Like that's like you sign a contract with the Wizards and it's on the internet. Like here's his money, it's guaranteed. And then if you have like a bad night or two, the fans are like, for that fucking money, that asshole can't even dunk a basketball. It's like kiss my, you know, like it's not my fault I make money.
Man, I'm glad you answered that. You asked me that question. Well, first of all, you got to learn. You got to learn to live with that information that everybody around you knows how much you make. You got to learn to live with that. And the second thing I will say is, you know, you got to embrace it. You got to understand that you make that money. You got to perform. You know, you got to take the responsibility. But also, obviously, there are, you know, pluses and minuses. You know, the weaker side is, you know, that wherever you go, people look at you as a target and people look at you as a, you know, maybe a trophy. You know, I'm going to get with this guy, you know, I'm going to have a good life. And
you got to be careful.
Yeah. So
you walk into the club and a girl's like, look at 10 million, well, more than that. Look at my man over here. Look at the walking dollars.
Right, look at dollar, right. Dollars falling out of his pockets. Well, it's just, you just got to learn to live with that. And, you know, I don't pay really attention to dumbasses, you know, that are telling me stories about.
What are you doing across from me then?
Right.
No, I'm a complete dumbass.
No, but, well, you know, you had a pretty hell of a career too. So, you know, I'm probably going to have 10 lives, you know, to catch up on you. But, you know, the bottom line is, I learned. I finished my 10th year in the NBA. I'm in front of my 11th year right now, about to start my 11th year in the league. And I learned to live with that people, you know, people know that I make money and I make big money. And it's just, I just got to embrace it and take responsibility for it. But it's like, not easy.
People know. It's interesting to me because people in the locker room know. So, like, if you max out John Wall, you max out Bradley Beal, like Otto Porter. Like right. Me, this is only me speaking to listener. Like, if you're gonna max out Otto Porter, you have fucking rocks in your head. But you gotta, otherwise he's not gonna come over and go play for another team. Or you're not gonna keep. Like sometimes you gotta max a guy out just so he doesn't go somewhere else. He's a value, more value if he's gonna leave. So guys in the locker room know how much each guy makes, and guys are on the plane all the time sitting next to each other. And like, look, I'm not like Bradley Beal, John Wall. Like, yeah, those are absolutely. But if you got like a Damari Carroll sitting around with like, you're like, what? So does
yeah,
that ever
well,
become a point of contention, like in practice, where guys are like, oh, come on, money bags.
You know what? I completely agree with you. There are situations that, you know, the money being thrown at some guys is just ridiculous. I mean, I love Otto. I've been with him since day one, pretty much since day one in NBA. I wasn't only in his rookie year because I was traded his second year in the league. At the beginning of the second year in the league, I was traded. So I've seen how much he works and how, you know, how composed he is as a basketball player. You know, he has his routine. He's doing the right thing. First of all, he's a great guy in the locker room, very humble, very quiet guy. And he definitely developed into a pretty good player.
Well, hold on a minute. The fans don't give a shit if you're a nice guy. If you're putting up 14 a night.
Well, actually, I got to tell you, it's important to be a nice guy. Because if you...
Well, I agree, but...
If you're not... I got to tell you, if you're just going to, you know, act like an asshole, then people just not going to want to play with... They don't want to play with you. They're not going to call you if you're going out to the club. If you're going out to the restaurant, you're going to hang out in someone's crib. They're just not going to call you. This is one of the reasons why a lot of European players haven't succeeded in the NBA. You know, when guys call you and say, hey, you know, today is a boxing night in my crib, you know, come on over to my crib, let's hang out with everybody. And all of a sudden, next thing you know, out of 15 players in the team, the only one European guy is not showing up at your house. Because, you know, first of all, he doesn't feel comfortable. Two, you know, people, you know, cracking jokes about him that, you know, your English is not good or I can't understand what you said, you know, and you're just basically sitting down there for 2-3 hours at his house eating nachos and, you know, you don't have any conversation with anybody else because you just can't speak English. So that's what happened when, you know, or worst case scenario, you're just an asshole and people don't call you. That's why you can't succeed in NBA. And trust me, to be a nice guy in this league and be a real guy, it's important. That's why.
That's really interesting. I never really thought it that way. Because there's guys like Gilbert Arenas, and there's guys, and again, this is just me. I'm not at any time in this podcast, I'm not speaking for Marcin Gortat. like, these guys are like fucking lunatics. Like, these guys are walking like goddamn pistols into locker rooms and shit. And it's like, you watch the numbers, it seemed like you see the production go down when the cuckoo bird goes up. It's really, I never really realized that before. Like, when there's like a, I can't really name a bad guy. And I know the NBA pretty well.
Right, right.
And the guys I can name are out of the league.
I will tell you a quick situation. I mean, I agree with you. I mean, you know, stuff like bringing guns to the locker room and, you
know. That was in your locker
room? Yeah, it was in my locker room, actually.
Did you see the gun?
No, I haven't. No, I haven't. And I actually never thought about bringing a gun to the locker room. But just some people just don't understand that. Just some people don't understand it. And, you know, some people coming from a different environments, you know, being, you know, acting like a gangsters and stuff. Like, you can't do that. You just can't do that. You got to keep this... Keep this crap for yourself, or do this for, you know, to your boys, you know, at home. But don't do this in the public place. Don't do this in the locker room. It's just not smart, man. You're hurting your pockets, first of all.
Fantasy football, yes. FanDuel brings you this more stories. The wait's nearly over. I can't believe football's back. I'm happy FanDuel is back. Fantasy football for you, an everyday fan. New contest starting every week. Don't you fast forward. Listen to this. I got a deal for you. No busted seasons. Something for everybody. Lots of contests. How about starting at just $1? I'm in. I'd buy that for a dollar. Pick a contest, choose your team, and watch your score in real time. It's going to be good, man. I love FanDuel. When you go on the FanDuel page, there are so many different leagues. There's a 50-50 league. You're like, what the hell is a 50-50 league? You'll see. Over 2.5 million players have won cash. FanDuel.com. FanDuel.com. Sign up today. FanDuel.com. The Join Now button, the promo code, support this podcast, more, M-O-H-R. If it's a month from now, you go to FanDuel, type in more, and get that hookup. Free entry into the NFL Sunday Million with an M, with over $1 million in cash prizes. That's, come on. Get a jet ski for March. Gortat, man. When you make your first deposit on FanDuel.com, that's they're going to hook you up. Visit FanDuel.com, promo code M-O-H-R. FanDuel.com, promo code MORE.
Yeah. But I can tell you a quick story about, you know, stuff that people just can't understand. But, you know, at the beginning of my career, I had a situation that we had one of the meetings with one of the, you know, psychological lady, like this, you know, mental lady. I mean, I don't know how to, you know, I don't know what was her, mental health, whatever. I don't know what was her title, but the lady that trying to tell us the story that, so what would you do if you know that one of your main players has an issue with alcohol? And
which is, you know, a bunch of guys.
Right, which bunch of guys have that. But, you know, he has issues with alcohol. But next thing you know, he goes to the game, he scores 30 points, you guys win the game. What would you do? Would you, you know, go and help him because he's killing himself and, you know, he's you know, he might end up bad, or, you know, or you just let him do that. So next thing you know is, you know, I was one of the rookies back then. I mean, one of the youngest guys. So I'm, you know, lifting my hand up. I'm like, I know the answer. And the veteran next to me grabbed my hand and said, put the hand down.
Who was the veteran? Well, that's a straight G, man. That's a good dude.
But actually, the reason why I'm going to tell you why, because, you know, I was about to answer that question. I'm like, yeah, I know what to do. You got to, you know, in my mind, I'm like, you got to help him. You got to go help him, you know, try to put him in the program. And then one of the veterans said, well, lady, we know what kind of answer you're looking for, but that's not the way. You don't understand. If this guy, maybe this guy needs to go to the club, get hammered in the club, come back at 6 o'clock in the morning, and next day he's going to go out, score 30 points. If he scores 30 points, we win the game. If we win the game, we go to playoffs. If we in playoffs, each one of us gets paid.
Pockets.
If we get paid, my family has a roof over their head and the food on the table. If I go help him right now, okay, yeah, I might save his life, but he's not going to pay my bills. He's not going to pay for food for my family. So at that point, it was a kind of a big hammer, like slamming at the back of my head. I'm like, wow, okay, that's the issues we have to deal with here in the NBA.
Well, it's reality, too.
It's just reality, and that's what I understood, that, you know, some people need that. Some people can do that. So, you know, coming back to your situation where you mentioned about the guns and stuff, yeah, I mean, I don't accept that. It's definitely a mistake and a huge you know.
Did you hear about it secondhand? The gun in the locker room?
Well,
and we can take this out if you're uncomfortable talking.
I heard about that, but it's just...
You were not in the locker room when it happened.
No, I wasn't in that team back then.
Oh, you're on the Magic's team.
I was the Phoenix with...
Jesus, how does a guy... I never understand how a guy as productive as some guys keep moving around. Like, Lou Williams will fucking murder you in front of your crowd. Like, we know that. Like, he will fucking kill you. Like, I understand, like, the Lakers go, well, we're not going anywhere. What's the point? Like, well, the point is I'm here to watch basketball.
Right.
And Lou, like, I watched that guy win 3 games alone.
Yeah, yeah.
There's guys, like, that just keep moving around. It's like, I don't know why some guys are ever let out of the building. Like,
well, I mean, I can tell you why it happened in Phoenix. I mean, it was pretty much obvious. Steve Nash left. Grant Hill finished his career. You know, I think Jared Dudley moved back then to Clippers. Channing Frye moved Jared to Orlando. Dudley. So we had that situation.
I didn't back up Jared Dudley.
No, but I mean, Jared back then was outstanding player. I mean, I would still love to play with Jared. He's my man. I mean, he's one of my best friends in the NBA. And I got to tell you, this guy is just a walking computer. He's unbelievable smart. You know, unbelievable heck of a player, you know, for his size and for his body. I mean, he's just literally squeezing every drop of possibilities, basketball possibilities out of his body. So he's able to do a lot of things with his body and his, you know, non-athletic ability.
Phoenix, like, it seems like it's cyclical. Like, if they're a 9 seed, they just start, best players got to go because they don't want to make the playoffs as an 8 seed.
Exactly.
And to me, my mentality, blue collar New Jersey, is no. I'm going to go in as an 8 seed. I'm going to fucking shock
right.
everybody.
Well, that's
I can win one game at home. That's $5 million at the gate.
Right, and you do want to play with guys like that. You know, you do want to play with guys like that. Yeah, you want to have guys like that in the locker room.
But when that guy's wearing a suit and tie, and he's not on the floor, like
yeah,
a Sherman,
but
I'm not
that's just funny, right? But the situation in Phoenix was easy because we knew we were going into rebuilding process, so we had. You know, they drafted a lot of new guys. They drafted a lot of new guys, new centers, and young centers. So back then, I think I was about 30 years old.
None of them are still there.
Yeah, none of them are still there. Well, that's a different thing. But, you know, I was 30 years old. So imagine if you have, you know, the core of the team is between, you know, 22 to 25 years old. So by the time they develop, I'm going to be at age 35. So I'm kind of not in the same... at the same level, you know, age-wise. That's why they said it's just better to trade him right now and get a pick for him so we can use this pick and develop, you know, a team for the future. And I knew I'm going to get traded. Nobody else, I mean, everybody was preparing me for that. All my friends around the league, they told me, like, listen, dude, you're going to get traded. My agent called me, you're going to get traded, you know. And I start preparing myself that I'm going to get traded. And that's what happened. Just the bad part was... that I get traded 48 hours because before opening night Oof. Of the season. And right at the opening night, I'm supposed to have the Polish Heritage Night with about 800 Polish fans and about 25 people that I sent from Poland to watch the game.
Oh, man.
So I was hoping. I didn't know there was 800
Polish people in Phoenix. Period. Let alone all in one building.
Are you crazy? We got about 200,000 in Phoenix. Polish people.
By your math, maybe. Right. Woods, or whatever the hell your town's called.
Right. Well, so that was the issue, and
yeah,
then
it's
a big issue. And I get. I remember till now. I remember the situation when one of the assistant coaches called me while I was dressing up in the locker room and said, hey, Marge, could you stop at the coach office? He wants to talk to you. So I open up the door, and I see coach, GM, and the president, and I'm like, all right, I know what happened. So I sit down, I start smiling, and they're looking at me, and I'm like, I just asked directly, I said, all right, where I'm going? He looked at me and said, well, we decided to trade you to Washington Wizards. And I'm like, you know what, John Wall? Yeah, I'll be fine. I'll see you soon, guys. And I smile, and they look at me and say, you're not pissed? I'm like, no, I knew it. I'm going to get traded. It's a business. It's a part of the business. Yeah. I understand that. You know, appreciate for everything you guys did
Polish
for me.
Polish Heritage Night. You got 800
Yeah, guys. Well, then, you know, I was pissed. I didn't want to, you know, I said, I'll be back here in 2 months with Washington. We, you know, we're gonna beat the crap out of you. So
yes, that's the best.
You know, so I'll pay you back. All right, I'll pay you back for the Polish Heritage Night. But it just, yeah, it was sad. So we had about.
Do you reroute the Polish, the people you're flying in? Do you reroute them to D.C.?
No, like, we couldn't. Well,
so
we couldn't.
In Phoenix, like, yeah,
they made it to Phoenix. They all had fun in Phoenix.
Like
they
went to the game.
They all went to the game. After the game, they went to support the open bars till midnight. You know, the bars they were open. They went to support
Phoenix
the bars and restaurants and yeah. Unfortunately, one of the Polish Heritage Nights in the United States was without Polish guy actually at a game.
You've been. I would say like the first question is like to who. Second question is hold on for who.
For who, right?
You can trade me for a second round pick and go fuck yourself. Like who? Like do guys talk like. You got traded for like a second round pick in 3 years. Like, whoa, that's insulting.
Well, I was traded.
Is that,
right.
Is that value like, oh, I got traded for a great player and a pick? Like, I'm
well, back
shit.
Then, I think I was, back then, I think from Phoenix, going from Phoenix to Washington, I think I was traded for lottery pick. I think it was, if
damn.
I'm a mid 13th or 15th player, 13th or 15th. I don't remember.
Don't bullshit. You don't know.
No, no, I don't remember. No,
you
no.
Kept your eye
no,
on
I don't remember. No, no, I don't remember. But I only thing I don't remember the name. I know the guy. I know the guy haven't made any impact on the team. That's and I remember one of the bloggers from Washington just pointed this out. You know, kind of, you know, pinching into a Phoenix Suns organization, saying that you traded a double-double guy for a guy that after 2 years being in the league just pretty much changed the team or you know.
Oh, it was Okafor?
Well, it was four of us. It was four of us. And from Phoenix was me, Shannon Brown, Malcolm Lee, and Kendall Marshall. And from Washington went Emeka Okafor with the problem. He had a disc problem in his neck. And then
yeah, he
also
could fall,
a,
too.
A first pick, the lottery pick in the first round.
I'm a little obsessed with that, like who that pick was. Is that spoken about like amongst players if you're traded for like a bum? Or like a pick, like you know, if it's a
I never seen that.
Oh, okay.
No, I never seen that. We never talk about that.
You've had the most American experience, like Orlando, Phoenix, DC.
Oh yeah,
is
trust me.
I don't know.
It hit me hard.
That how so?
Well, it hit me hard because all of a sudden you live in Orlando, where you know everything is pretty much it's a retirement place for everybody.
Yeah.
It's a lot of older people, cool people that just have an easy life, very slow life. You know, back then I thought Orlando downtown was kind of unbelievable. I thought it was like the best place on earth. Then I went to Phoenix. Well, before Phoenix, I went to Miami, and then I realized Orlando is actually a smaller city.
Very, yeah.
Miami's, a very smaller city.
Miami's
Miami
too quick
is actually,
for me.
Right, and Miami is actually just unbelievable. And then I went to Phoenix, and I understood that, you know, the desert and the, you know, the rocks and the dry air is just a lot of rocks and it's just not for me.
I remember my mind going like, a lot of swimming pools? No.
Yeah,
like I'm
right.
looking, as
it's
a comic,
just,
I'm always
right.
looking for that thing.
And
you
it's
go,
just
rocks?
Like all the rocks and all the rocks around and it's just like, you know, I just realized it's not a place for me. And for some reason, I felt really lonely out there being 8 hours from Poland, which means I mean, obviously, in Orlando.
Are you taking a fucking space shuttle? How
eight hours. No, it's 8 hours difference.
Oh, okay.
So in Orlando, on the East Coast, you had only 6 hours.
Right.
And it was already a problem when I was finishing practice. I had to call my, you know, my family really quick because it was pretty much, you know, midnight. So you had to call immediately, you know. But back in Phoenix, when it was 8 hours difference, then you're finishing practice and, yeah, everybody's sleeping, so... That was the issue I had, and
people don't think about that. Much.
Yeah, people
it's
don't
like,
think about that, but it's important.
Like if I went to Poland to film a movie, I'm going to be back in 3 weeks.
Right, exactly.
And I can just email people. But
right.
You're coming to Orlando to live. Like this is it. Like you got to buy a house or rent.
Right. Well,
or
you're out there for
like, 70. If you got kids, you got to put them in school. So when you get traded, I don't think fans appreciate like that. It's such a like. Instagram, instant, now, like Snapchat, now, you microwave minute rice. It's like, oh, he went that way, he got fucking traded. Who get,
right.
Like, no, like, my son's best friend was just here.
Right.
And I got to go explain to my kid, we're going to go move away from everything you know. And then including, the, you know, you put the kids first, obviously. And I got to think, like, being from another country, you know, we know the Manu Ginobili's, we know the Tony Parkers. And
right.
I don't think we ever stopped to go, this guy's better than I ever thought, because I don't know how productive I would be if I had to live in Łódź, Poland, and act every day. Eventually, I'm going to go, can I be fucking done? Can I just go back to where I grew up on that street,
right,
where everything
was
easy?
That's just easy to say, but it's just, yeah, it's painful, you know, especially that, okay, when you buy yourself, and most of my career I was, pretty much a single man, you know, but...
Nice.
But
that's how you get the Polish right. Nickname.
No.
Drop an anchor.
No. No, but then you got to... You know, if you get the phone call, you trade it, then you just pack your stuff and you go. You know, like you don't have bigger issues. You know, obviously, yeah, you got to change organization, and all of a sudden you go into a new organization where you don't know the names. You like you, hey, yo, my man, whatever. You know, you try and call the guy.
Yeah, if you go to Phoenix. Huh?
Yeah, you
know,
try and call
there.
The guy. You have no idea. Who's around you, and obviously you know some players, but other
hey,
than
Morris.
That,
no, not you, the other Morris,
right? Yeah, with Simon Morris, my man, my Keith Morris and Marcus Morris, yeah, they're cool brothers. But yeah, it's difficult, you know, including stuff like restaurants, you know, clubs, and just people in town, you know, simple guy like even barber, you don't know who to call, where to call, like it's you're
barber.
Starting
like you're that's elemental, man, barber.
Yeah, like you're starting everything from the beginning, you know, you're starting everything from the beginning. It's not easy, and then if you add to that, you know, family, you know, a girlfriend or friends or just people there with you, you know, I don't have kids, so if you have kids and then all of a sudden you have to change the place where you know you're going to a different team, yeah, it's. It's a difficult task.
True car, yes. Let me tell you something. 700,000 pre-owned vehicles. Wow, that's a lot of cars waiting for you to pick them up. And you know, I hear this all the time. A true car will hook you up, and that is people go, I just can't find the car I'm looking for. Well, that's not true, because you go to True Car, and they find it for you. All the True Car certified dealers, True Car users like myself, you save on average over $3,000. Off MSRP. I don't have two pennies to rub together. So if I can save over $3,000, no brainer. Connect with a local certified dealer of your choosing so you can enjoy. How about you enjoy the process instead of getting stressed out? It's an easy buying experience. Over 13,000 True Car certified dealers nationwide. Over 700,000 pre-owned vehicles. It's just there waiting for you. True Car, my friend. Save time, save money, never overpay. True Car.
You talked about... Am I saying it right? Łódź?
Łódź, right.
So you that's in the middle of Poland. Like, that's the second largest city. You know everybody there.
Oh, yeah.
Everybody knows you. Who's the most famous Polish person? Like, if you don't know who Ivan Putski is, like, I don't even know where to go.
Famous Polish, only in United States or all over the world?
Well, both.
Both. Well, have you ever heard about Robert Lewandowski, soccer player from Bayern Munich?
No, but I'm well aware of the fact that I'm way missing the boat on all the soccer fame guys.
Okay, so he's probably next to Cristiano Ronaldo, one of the best strikers on earth.
Cristiano Ronaldo is Polish. People don't know that.
No, he's Portugal. Oh. Come
Pele
on,
is Polish, right?
Who?
Pele?
No, Brazilian, too.
All right.
Ah, good try.
Pele ski.
We have tennis player, Agnieszka Radwańska. She's also, I think, right now top 10 on ATP. Obviously, I'm here in NBA. We have a lot of...
You might be the most famous American Polish in America.
Athlete?
Person. Think about that. You might be the actual most famous Polish person paying taxes in the States.
Oh, yeah.
Now I made you think of Orlando.
Paying the biggest mistake. I mean, paying the biggest taxes. Yeah, definitely.
No state taxes.
No state, right.
You're trading me away.
Yeah, we have a lot of actresses. In LA here.
Actually. Nobody's rolling off the tongue. There's like, who's the most famous, you know, Spanish person? They'd go like, oh, you know, Salma Hayek, whatever.
Right. Well, we have probably a few actresses.
You're the most famous Polish person in the United States. I'm realizing that, like, look at your smile. It's dawning. Like, you,
I mean,
you
I,
are
I'm
actually.
I'm quickly thinking who
I know
else
it's NBA
we have.
Specific.
We do have two boxers. We have few boxers, actually, too. We have one. NHL player, but I don't think people even know that he's from Poland.
Well, it's hockey. It's
Sebastian Janikowski from the Ryder, Oakland Raiders, the kicker, Janikowski.
Raiders. Oh, Janikowski. Yeah, no, Janikowski. He's more famous than you.
Oh, come on, man.
No, he is.
Come
Janikowski?
Come on.
My man can bend the elbow, Janikowski. The guy's like, he's going to be 50 kicking 50-yarders. He likes to. Who? What's? Let me.
Hold on.
Have you met him?
Yeah, we did. We met.
Have you gone out to the club with him?
No.
Good. Very smart idea.
And trust me, when I met him, he was already after those stunts in the club. So.
Yeah, but God damn it, that guy's got a leg on him. What a weird...
But guess what? I haven't even recognized him one time. Where we met was at the airport. So I was just standing in the line. It was actually in Orlando. He had a connected flight from somewhere. And I was standing in the line. I was about to fly to Poland. And he's standing behind me. And he asked me, hey, you play basketball? I said, yeah, I play basketball. Who you play for? I said, Orlando Magic. So where are you from? I said, from Poland. I said, oh, I'm from Poland too. Nice to meet you. And then he... switched the language. He started talking Polish to me, and you know, we said hello, how you doing, and then we, you know, had a little conversation for 2-4 minutes.
Hold on,
and
from
then
behind.
I had to literally like look at his tag on the bag, and then I read Janikowski. I'm like, oh my god, that's the kicker. I'm like, that's the football, the kicker
he's
from played, the football.
Yeah, he's kind of like the best kicker too.
Right. I mean,
that guy just fucking parties and swings that right leg.
That's
man,
what
off
I heard.
The infield dirt. Like and in then, Oakland, they still play baseball at the same time. Right. You're going to kick off like second
base. So we
base.
Talk. We talk for like 10 minutes. And then next thing I know, probably 4 or 5 years later, he was waiting in San Francisco after Golden State game. He was waiting for me to meet me. But I, for some reason, took me a lot of time in the locker room to...
Polish hammer.
to get ready. And he left. So
wait,
yeah.
He said to you from behind... At the airport.
Yeah.
He
was
first thing
in
was,
the
do
line.
You play basketball? That's because you're 7 feet tall. Everybody asks you that, right?
Right.
And the second question is, are your parents tall? That's what everybody says, right?
No, second question is, no, most of the time, the second question is, what's the temperature up there?
What's the weather like?
What's the weather like, the temperature? Like, is it cold, cooler, colder, like hotter? Like,
I thought of that driving here. I started laughing at how fucking stupid. How's the weather up there? The person's like 1 foot above your face.
Well, yeah. I'm not getting mad at that. I mean, no, it's I just mean, like, I'm, I already get used to
totally
it.
You totally know get
saying?
Mad at
no,
it.
No.
You wouldn't have said that if it didn't bug you.
No, the only thing is that when it pissed me off when guys tell me like, wow, you are 70, so huge. I'm like, no, you're just small. I'm saying you're just small.
Why is it
I'm normal.
You are huge. Like, you're 7 feet tall.
I'm just like, well, I'm just like 6 feet tall. I'm like, well, you're small. I'm saying you got to eat more. You know, I mean, ain't my problem. You're small.
But then I guess three is your mom and dad 7 feet
well,
tall?
Well, yeah, my
like,
parents
yeah, we all
big.
Live in a fucking windmill. Like, no, I'm not a
no,
family
no, my
of
parents,
giants.
My parents were big. My mom was probably about 6'1", 6'2". She was a volleyball player, too.
I was going to say they were both athletes, probably.
Both athletes. My dad was a boxer, two brown medals in the Olympics, 72, 76.
Me and Corey, like, let me write that down.
72, 76.
We boycotted the 76.
Montreal
Olympics.
And Munich, if I'm not mistaken.
We didn't know.
And then my mom was a volleyball player, a Polish champ a few times, and both national team players. So, yeah, I have a great genes. I'm blessed to, you know, have a genes for after my parents.
My friend Gary Goldman, he's a comedian. He's like 6'7", real handsome, tall guy. And he does this joke. He goes, hey, is your mom and dad tall? He goes, no. He goes, hey, was the milkman tall? And he goes, no, but thanks for insinuating my mom's a whore with somebody with a job that doesn't exist anymore. And then she fucked the chimney sweep. And the stable guy, like, there's no fucking milkman anymore.
No, I mean, I'll punch the guy in the grill if you ask me that question.
With that reach.
Right, with that reach.
You realize you're so Americanized, but you're specifically urban American. Like, you were talking about, you know, getting you've only said crib. You've never said home. Like, you obviously, you spend your days and nights and overnights with brothers.
Right.
And, like, the crib. Yeah. Like, that's your nomenclature, your natural way of speaking. It's how a guy from like Watts Towers would talk, like, and you're not like if like most white guys were like, so we go to the crib, and I'll you know whatever you just I forget what you just said like, but it was something very urban specific. What did you just say? Well, Hit him in the grill. Like if a white guy just says that, you're like,
I watched too many movies.
Why is this guy talking like
too
this?
Too many American movies.
It's like weird. Like a white guy goes, then I punched him in his grill, and I'm like, I'm going back to the crib. You're like, okay, white puck, like relax. Right. But when you say it, it's. I'm like, you're like a 7 foot white guy. You are completely inured to the culture of African American life in the States. And in the States here, everyone's like wedging themselves away from anything that's different from themselves. It's so divisive right now. You come from another country, you yourself are sort of like a lesson in inclusion. Right. I don't like the word tolerance. Like, I'm not tolerating fucking people of color. It's a stupid word. But, like, you yourself are living how people should live.
Yeah, well, as I said before, I think you just got to make the adjustment. Especially for me as a European player coming to the league, international player, that's just adjustment you got to do. I mean, I know a lot of European players, they just, every time when they get invited for a dinner, restaurant, club, whatever, they just don't go.
Kristaps don't like to hang out.
Who?
Porzingis don't like to hang out. I'm just,
I don't know. I mean, I don't know him that well, but
no, I had to pick a name that
for example, people's going to laugh, but it's not a secret. I mean, people always, every time when I was going to the club and, you know, stupid situation, what would you like to drink? And I would say, you know, vodka with juice. And people are like, no, we don't drink vodka. We drink brown. We drink brown stuff, you know, is a whiskey or Hennessy or cognac, and it's just adjustment that you had to do.
I'm a recovering alcoholic. I don't know that adjustment whatsoever. Like, well, there's not brown as well.
And well, it had to. That's you know, especially for the for us international players, we never been doing that back in Europe. And then all of a sudden, you're coming to the United States and you play with majority of players in the NBA is Afro Americans. So you just gotta
vodka. They just want you to drink what they're drinking.
You just gotta make an adjustment.
The garage fridge and get
and now if you know it's up to you if you go right. That's what they say.
Like, how about you just hit this Henny while we listen to fucking LL's new album?
Can't you just have a simple drink with whiskey?
Come on, man. We go brown here.
Right, we go brown. So,
like, if you said crib to my dad, John Moore in New Jersey, if you, like, then I bust him in his grill, and then I went back to my crib, my dad would be like, this Polish guy, they have a weird way of talking. He wouldn't know that you were, emulating and copying what you've learned hanging out with black.
Older brothers, yeah.
Like, that's really fascinating to me.
As I said, I've been around so much around NBA players, and it's just at some point you gotta.
When's your album gonna drop? You and Damian Lillard into hip hop?
I think we need
the Polish Hammer hip hop album.
No, that's
why not? You can't rhyme.
I can't dance. I can't sing. I can't dance.
You think Bun B's dancing through Texas?
I can't. I mean, there's just even my rookie year when Dwight made me dance, I was just acting stupid. But
yeah, and then he dances way out of fucking town, and you're standing there with a reputation as a bad dancer, and he's crying in every interview. Dwight, where is he now? Charlotte?
Yeah. Charlotte, my man Dwight.
Let's not do tampering here.
No, come on, man. I gotta circle back to Dwight, man.
Dwight Howard, Hall of Fame. This is a three-time defensive player of the year. He's a Hall of Famer. It just seems like...
I mean, I don't know, but listen, he...
Oh, no. You're going to the Hall. It's the International Basketball Hall of Fame. You will be in the Hall of Fame.
No, I'll
bet you right now, $1,000, you pay me in... Well, no. I'll pay you in American, you pay me in Polish, but you got to use the dollars.
I don't think you'll buy food for the dog for the 1,000 Polish lobby.
I'll send you a Yorkie if you don't make the Hall of Fame by the time you're 50 years old. That'll make I'll be dead by then.
Yeah, I mean, it'll be great, but, I don't think it will happen. I mean, to be honest with you. I mean, I'm just optimistic.
The International Basketball Hall of Fame.
Well, there's a lot of players, international players.
Like Sue
Bird
from Rutgers is in the Hall of Fame. Well, she's actually fantastic. She's lights out ball player.
Listen, I truly believe I'm more than just average player in this league. But Hall of Fame, yeah. I mean, I appreciate the compliment.
If it was NBA Hall of Fame, I would agree with you. But it's International Hall of Fame.
Well, I got a few more years in my tank. Well, let's find out in a few years. We'll see.
All right, my man. My friends, I'm gonna
get that podcast. I need the Yorkie from you.
That's an expensive Yorkie too, man.
I love it.
They live to be 110. ever since I started this podcast, people want me to give them advice at like football games, and because I know a thing or two about athletics. Patriots or Steelers? The answer is always Patriots, by the way. Chicago's going to be better than you think. Everybody's complaining about Matthew Stafford getting paid $132 million. You're not only paying the guy to be quarterback, you're paying so that in the draft room you never have to go, what about quarterback? So let me tell you something. My bookie has been in the business for years. Their rep is rock solid. I wouldn't be talking about him if I didn't mean that. 100% cash bonuses, straight cash, homie.
So off the bat, you're making money for doing nothing. They have the fastest payouts. It's just like it's actually two business days. You know who's going to win, right? You're talking all that trash. So why don't you lay down some cash? You win big today. I recommend my service to my listeners. They've been good to me. Join now. My bookie will match your deposit with up to 100% bonus. The promo code is my last name, MOHR, M-O-H-R. You activate that offer. It's not .com. It's .ag. Visit mybookie.ag today. You play, you win, you get paid. I used to do a card, an NFL card. I'm not going to lull you into a gambling discussion because that's no good for anybody. Corey used to work at the Laugh Factory, and this guy used to come around with those tickets. Like, you pick five games, you hit all five. And I was always taking four out of five. And then I hit 5 out of 5, and I think it was like 1,000 even. That fucking guy
disappeared.
Just had a summer home all of a sudden, like gone. Like, how does he keep track of who won? Like, somebody wins all the time because we all did it.
Right.
And then he comes back. He goes, "Oh, I got your money." And then I hit that week again, and I never seen the guy since.
Right.
And if I did see him, I might have to headbutt his face in his grill.
In his grill.
What's your favorite kind of grill? Do you have a favorite kind of grill to grill on? What's your passion outside of basketball? If you go home, left alone, you're like, you know what I'm going to do? What I always want to do.
Well, I really like...
besides Pornhub.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. oh, my God. This is... I need a drink right now. Brown.
We got something in.
I need a brown drink. My passions. Depends where I am, obviously, and depends what time of the year.
Passion is not regionally specific.
Well... I have a passion like jet skis, but I can't do jet skis in the winter. You know,
fuck that, man. Let's do it.
No, well, body I mean, suit, man. Maybe.
Laird Hamilton's he's doing big wave surfing in Aleutian Islands in Alaska. You just put on that polythene suit. Go.
It's possible. It's possible, but you know, like I said, in the winter, you know, maybe different things. I would probably watch movies. I like watch a lot of movie shows. I definitely love to work with my foundation. I have a foundation. I like to create a lot of different events and a lot of different opportunities for the kids, camps, schools.
What's the foundation, buddy? I'm embarrassed we didn't get to it. I asked you before we started.
Right. Well, and you're acting I'm like- always speaking about my foundation. So, you know, actually for once I'm able to talk about something else in my foundation. But if you mention it, I will say it really quick.
A million subscribers.
I have foundation back in Poland. The name of it is MG13. Aim High.
That's the whole
foundation.
Name?
Yeah.
So MG13. If I go .com, it's MG13AimHigh.com?
Well, if you go, you're going to go MG13.com.pl. .com.pl.
Oh, that's the Polish .com.
Yeah, which is... Well, we have, obviously, Polish and English version, too. So I do a lot of different events. I have camps. I have academies for kids. I also have four sports schools back in Poland. And I have about... Right now, I'll probably have about... I'm employing about 600-700 people in Poland.
You employ 600-700 people?
Including my schools, right? There are...
MG13.
Right. And
your schools? School for the blind? Fame?
I got schools for basketball, volleyball, soccer, box, judo, karate. I have all different sports. And we're just creating a system, especially basketball system, for our country to... You know, hopefully we're going to build another NBA player in the future. We have connection here in the States. We work with one AAU team in Florida, where we send our students from school to AAU program in the summer so they can develop, work with American kids, learn some culture, learn English, obviously, and then come back to Poland and perform at the higher level.
Where does that all come from? I mean, that's usually a guy is a foundation. You have so many foundations, but you don't have any kids. But you, like, you became a different guy when you started talking about kids. Like, kids are really important to you, I could tell.
Yeah.
Where does that come from?
Well, you know what? I think it comes from also, you know, the way you've been raised. You know, my parents raised me. I truly believe they raised me the right way. You know, they gave me values, you know, very important values in life, you know, that you respect. And you know, obviously everybody has this, you know, at the lower or higher level, you know, the bubble hits your head when you may start making a lot of money, you're losing your mind and you start going crazy with money, you're buying stuff that you don't need. Everybody has that. I have that too, but I truly believe that the way I was raised and the way, you know, I was growing up in basketball, especially in Orlando, having wonderful veterans, and I want to mention these veterans,
you know, Bo Outlaw, O'Donnell Foyle, Rashard Lewis, you know, Dwight Howard, you know, Jameer Nelson, Nick Anderson, you know, Tony Batty, Hito Turkoglu, you know, they were my vets, you know, even Matt Barnes, even my, even Matt Barnes,
I play,
yeah, Turkish Hammer. So don't
Matt Barnes, respect.
Matt Barnes, my man. I just came back from a pickup game with him. So
hold on. Where is this pickup game? Where I can see Marcin Gortat and Matt Barnes, two fucking throwing bows, OG early 90s.
Oh, man. We, like, we had
Anthony
some
Mason
sick,
clones throwing
we
bows.
We had some sick games at the UCLA camp, UCLA school campus we went to. We played with Baron Davis. We had Ron Artest over there. We had Ricky Davis. I mean, we going... The squad, I mean, the starting lineup today, because we won all the games.
Well, yeah, who are you playing against? Like,
well, we had a lot of... There's
other NBA
probably
guys?
About between 30 to 50 NBA guys every day. And you have a competition.
How does that get out on the wire where, like, Ricky Davis, who's... he doesn't play anymore. He hasn't played in a while.
He's an, he just finished 3-on-3 competition, the tournament.
Like I said, he doesn't play anymore. by the way, the coaches were better than the players.
Probably.
Like fucking Charles Oakley suited up at Staples Center. I'm on the road in Denver going, how am I not in town when my man,
Oakley,
fucking Oak Tree, is going to go, just give it to me on my right shoulder. I'll, like, I take two shots a game. I just kick the shit out of everybody.
The referee will be like, Mr. Oakley, can I call the foul?
Oh, my God. The one, you know, when he got in the, when he got tossed from MSG, he mushed one of those dudes. He mushed one. There was like 18 security guys. The one guy he mushed in the face, Jimmy Concrete from my neighborhood. Jimmy Concrete, like cement, like Jimmy, it's a guy, like, he's just got a job, like, you know, like, you watch Goodfellas, like, you don't even have to show up, don't worry, right. But he shows up, and he's like, hey, you know what, listen, and that's the one guy Oakley fucking puts his hands on his face, like, that's the only guy where that's an even fight.
Right, it's just,
I'd like to be the cop putting the cuffs
this
on.
This guy was just, oof. I mean, he was no joke. But like I said, we have a lot of pros coming in, and that's what I've seen today. You know, Matt Barnes, and it was great to, you know, see him after so many years and play with him, you know, together after so many years.
I don't know anybody that's a bad thing to say about Matt Barnes. I mean,
no,
of course,
listen,
we all know one.
He's sometimes he acting like loose cannon a little bit, but listen,
you want him on your team.
Everybody loves Matt Barnes.
Yeah.
You want to have him on your team.
Dirty work.
He's literally gonna go into fight with you when there's 20 against 1. He's gonna hop in. There's gonna be 20 against 2. You know you're going to lose this fight, but he's just going to stick with you the rest of, you know.
But eight of you guys are fucking limping home.
Right, but and that's why, you know, I had this opportunity to play with him today. We won all the games. And yeah, that's how it was in Orlando. All the
Baron
veterans.
Davis took like 50 shots. That was today?
No, Baron Davis dished like 10 assists today, probably.
And he's got an office around the corner. I went over. He's doing Black Santa, right?
Well, if you want to play, you're welcome to come tomorrow.
Yeah, I'll be. I know. I'm going to watch. I don't want to play.
I didn't say you're going to play.
You said if you want to play, you just.
No, I said you can come to watch. You can watch.
I'll rewind the tape.
I mean, I can get you. You can play. Maybe you can play basketball with volleyball players over there on the side if you want.
Well, they wear those cute shorts,
right?
How are those legal? Palisades High School. They jog past my school. I'm like, what father okays them like volleyball shorts? Right. That ain't right. So. I don't want you thinking about your mom in volleyball shorts now. I did a horrible disservice to you, and I apologize. Who's the biggest trash talker in the NBA that you've ever come up against?
The biggest trash talker? Whew. Well, I play against KG for a while. He definitely is a good trash talker. That one trash talker that I had on my team, and I was competing with him in a practice, was Paul Pierce. Oh, yeah. That guy was...
It's Englewood, right?
That guy was just –
he's probably my favorite all-time player.
Yeah, he just – I'm telling you, he could take anybody out of the game just with talking. He was standing at the free throw line. There was a guy shooting free throw, and he said, are you freaking kidding me? 4 years for $16 million, and you can't even make a free throw? And bam, clank, it was a break. Another one, clank, break. 0-for-2 on the free throw line just because Paul Pierce was talking.
Is it because it's a Hall of Famer? Like, Paul Pierce, no doubt.
He was just talking. I mean, he will always hit you on point. Like, he will always tell you.
I can't be the only guy that says that.
Well, you have.
The fact that it's Paul Pierce with the headband It's Englewood. It's like
no, listen. I mean, there you have a lot of people. You have a lot of people talking crap in the game, but it's, you know, there's always, there's only certain amount of people that the stuff they say, you know, the background of these people, like Paul Pierce, I mean, Hall of Famer, you just respect. So you actually listen to this guy, you know?
Paul Pierce thinks
I mean, I had DeMarcus Cousins telling me, I mean, he's telling me and threatening me every game and telling me crap every game, but... You know, I mean, you can't take
that's
this
another guy. Like, yeah, but I wrote down Boogie when we're talking about Matt Barnes.
You can't take this guy seriously. I mean, he's just loose cannon. He's just knucklehead. And I already said this many times. I'm going to say
but
it again.
But is he a loose cannon? Because I've never known the guy to get in trouble.
Listen,
he's got the reputation. I said it on my podcast, the Daily Sports one.
I mean, he's very skilled. He's the best big man in the league.
He's
but
better than you.
He's definitely better than me. No, he is. I mean, listen, there's nothing wrong with that. Fuck. I mean,
so, this is a serious question.
But he's just...
Todd's a brother. Like, I said this on the Daily More Sports. It's like, when you say a... Not you. Like, once you label a black guy troublemaker, there's nothing... They will never outrun it. Like, Boogie Cousins retweeted a journalist in quotes, that said, this guy will be arrested within 5 years in the NBA. On the day... That fucking guy said it on the anniversary to 5 years. He retweeted it and went, so what's up?
Right.
He's never been arrested. Whoa, he got all these coaches running. It's the fucking Kings. Like, who? Like, what the fuck? Right. The Kings.
Well, but that's.
How do you know
listen,
if a guy's a
troublemaker?
The
guy talks shit. The guy's talking crazy stuff at the game. He always threat people. But then we said, dude, you're going to be watching basketball in TV on May. In May, you know, I mean.
What does he say?
Like, he's just saying all kinds of different.
You just said didn't get past me, by the way. That was some great
stuff. He's just saying different crap. But it's just funny because I'm like, dude, like, you've been threatening me 2 years ago, last year. Like, just stop.
What did he say? The best trash talk you shared with us.
I swear, God,
is you're going to miss your free throws.
Push me again. I'm going to hit you. I'm like, man, just hit me, Dan. Just don't be a pretender. Just hit me, Dan. It's every time like that. You have few guys like that in the league, but like I said, there are only certain guys that you actually listen and you respect. And Paul Pierce was one of these guys. Right. When he was talking crap.
So who says it does matter?
Oh yeah, it definitely. I mean, if you are just, you know, a rookie player or you're bouncing from team to team and you keep talking crap, then people don't take this seriously.
Like, I was at Gabrielle Reese and Laird Hamilton's house. Let me pick those names up that I just dropped. Swimming. And Joakim Noah comes over to work out with Laird. They work out underwater. He's fucking on. You're like, wow, the guy's got a motor. He's underwater with weights for 4 minutes. That's why he never gets tired when he's healthy, obviously. Like, you can't fault the guy for getting hurt. And he said... He was at Florida a year ago, so he's like 20 years old, and they go, just go in and foul Shaq. And he takes two steps out of the court, and Shaq goes, hey, Rook, watch your nose.
Right.
And
old
he goes,
Shaq?
I couldn't fucking put a body on him. He didn't swear, because he don't swear, you know.
Well,
he goes, but like, he didn't know how to guard Shaq where he wouldn't catch him. Like, Shaq didn't have to throw the elbow. Like, Shaq saying that to you was like scary, because Joakim somehow wasn't, like, you're twice the size of Joakim. Somehow,
I've seen, we're the same height. I might be a little bit maybe slightly bigger, but I've seen Shaq too, and I had the same, the first day with Shaq. Oh, Lord, it's crazy. I mean, we cool right now. I mean, I truly believe we good colleagues in this league. I spoke with Shaq many, many times.
I like
and
March.
Yeah, he...
Did you guys beef on the court?
No, we always talk, you know. I live right next to him. We have our lake is connected. Our houses are on the same lake
in Orlando.
In Orlando. There you go.
So you kept your spot in Orlando because of the jet skis.
Yes.
When you're jet skiing, has anybody ever called the Coast Guard thinking you were a monster?
No.
A 7-foot thing on a lawnmower engine on a little aluminum thing, and a fucking Marcin Gortat goes by, a 7-footer, 250 pounds. Like, what the fuck is that? I'm calling national security.
No, we don't. Well, there's a lot of
FBI agents going.
No.
Loch Ness monsters out in the lake?
There's a lot of sheriffs, but no, we cool. I'm a good guy. I don't do anything.
No,
crazy.
I know that, but the visual of a 7-footer on a jet ski. Do you have to get a special jet ski?
Never see myself on a jet ski. I mean, I'll have to. Somebody will have to tape me.
You said it was your passion.
It is my passion, but I'm saying I never see myself riding on a jet. Somebody will have to record me first.
You don't go past that part of the lake with all the mirrors,
right?
Oh, I look good. Look at my triceps, man.
You hang out in the weird lakes, man.
But you got to feel weird on a jet ski. You don't get like a 7-foot jet ski. You get the same.
Jet ski. I got a big jet ski.
Oh, you
got a nice big jet ski.
But not
fast
at first.
One.
Remember the ones you used to stand on? That's the one.
Oh,
that
no,
like
no, I don't use that. No, that's on, a very man. Difficult. That's a sport jet ski. No, that's
no
a
shit,
very
man.
Difficult.
I'm an athlete. You don't know.
That's a very difficult jet ski. No,
those
we
are
don't
crazy.
Use that. But yeah, we Shaq was. I mean, that guy's just ridiculous size. I mean,
he's the most dominant player I've ever seen. Like
ever,
I, you know,
ever, hands down, ever.
I saw Mike in the Garden probably 20 times, and when I look up his shooting percentage, and it's like beneath 50%. I'm like, that's impossible, because when he missed a shot, we went, whew. Like, I never saw the guy. He missed 6 shots in 4 years of my life. Like, so right. You see the shooting percentage, it seems impossible that he shoots, like, in the, you know, 40s.
I mean, he's just so dominant. I mean, I remember the days when I played. I blocked him one time. They called me a foul, and I was like,
no. Was it a foul, though?
It wasn't. No,
not
it
the
was
body,
a clean.
Not the leg,
it was
not the
nothing.
Head.
It was a clean block, but obviously it's Shaq, so I had to take the. I had to take, you know, foul. Back
Let me ask
then,
you this about foul calls. I had a guy that I used to work with. He goes, "You don't call that foul with that much time left on the, like, you know, a minute left. You don't call that foul." It's like, if I'm a referee, I'm calling. I'm not aware of the fucking clock.
Yeah. That's,
but does
that's
that actually happen?
Issue.
Like, I'm not going to. There's 4 seconds left in a playoff game. I'm not right. going to tee this guy up.
Well,
because the superstars do get the calls.
They do get the calls, and I will never believe the crap that referees are saying that, yeah, we treat everybody the same way. No, you don't.
No, you don't.
No, you don't. No, you don't. But one thing I would say, it definitely works, and I can tell you out of my experience, referee will treat you different way if you respect them, and if you even if you're pissed, you talk to them with poise. You're trying to stay poised, and you know, you're not trying to go crazy and curse him out. They're gonna respect that more than.
Well, you make their job
when you go like DeMarcus Cousins. You're gonna,
yeah, Boogie's always yelling at the refs.
Yeah, he always. That's why he gets you know 20 technical fouls a year. But I mean, listen, that's how he is.
I saw he started hitting threes at Staples Center. I went, oh, because he's gonna stay out there shooting threes. He's a big, like, if you just hit a three and go, oh, I'm gonna take 8 more of these. Your coach, you know,
yeah.
Scotty's gonna get back in now.
Yeah.
He didn't fucking miss. He did take 7 more, 8 more. He hit every goddamn three.
Yeah, well,
it
listen,
was crazy.
I mean, as crazy and foolish he is, I mean, he's just beast. I mean, he's very skilled, and I can't take this away from him. And
you know who Tyler Ulis? You know Tyler Ulis on Phoenix now, right?
I think Ulis. I know him.
Huh? Tyler Ulis on the Lakers? Yeah. No, you're thinking of Ennis. Ulis with a U.
Ulis,
he went to Kentucky.
Oh, no guard.
Yep. He's 5'7", and he went to Kentucky. And Calipari told me he shows up at practice, and Boogie Cousins and Tyler Ulis almost got in a fist fight. You're like, Boogie's 7 feet tall. He's right. A fucking menace. And Tyler Ulis is 5'7".
Right.
And Cal goes, man, poor Tyler. And 3 dudes go, no, coach. Poor Boogie. And he was like, whoa. Like, Tyler Ulis apparently is a straight fucking G. I was like,
right.
Like
well,
thank God he got broken up. And he goes, yeah, because poor Tyler. And they're like, no, poor Boogie. And that's when he started him the next game, and he didn't like him because he pounded the ball into the floor like he was trying to break the floor. He was like, bang, bang, at the top of the key. And he started him. They won. That's when they won the national championship. They just went on this crazy run. And he goes, well, if that's how they feel about Tyler Ulis,
right.
I can't have him coming off the bench. That's going to be my leader.
And
he just
right
rode
it.
He still
Lakers
don't.
Right
no, that's
now.
Tyler Ennis from Syracuse.
Oh, Syracuse.
Ulis.
I will follow up on him.
But so if Boogie gives you any trouble, go, how about I get Tyler Ulis to kick your ass?
Nah, I'll do this by myself.
Oh, shit. What's the most American thing that overwhelmed you when you first? I should have asked this way earlier. Mm-hmm. When you first got here, well, I mean, when you go to the Magic Kingdom, when you land in Orlando, that's probably it.
Yeah.
But you're in D.C., Phoenix, Orlando. Mm-hmm. You've had the most American life event.
True.
Like, people don't leave the valley.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I'm like, what are
oh,
you
yeah,
doing?
Oh, yeah, that's disaster.
You're 20 minutes from the Pacific Ocean. Like,
yeah.
I got to go over a hill.
Yeah.
Like, okay.
Well, like I said, it was crazy because Orlando was very hot. You know, everything beautiful. I love the tropical environment. You know, palms, a lot of green, and just, you know, beautiful weather, kind of slower life than Phoenix. You know, a lot of desert, rocks, sand. You know, very hot, dry air. Kind of not my, you know,
rocks.
Just kind of like not my style. And then all of a sudden, you're being dropped to a big city.
D.C.,
D.C., you know, the first week after training. I mean, the first week after trade, I stopped right in front of the White House. I pull up to the side on the driveway to the gate to the White House.
On a jet ski?
No. In my bands. And then next thing you know, you have like five police cars, you know, blocking me. You have Secret Service jumping out from the crowd, pulling out the badges and the flashlight guns, and you have about 15 cops standing around me with guns pointing at my car. I'm thinking, what the hell did I do?
Wait, this couldn't have been more than 3 years ago.
Yeah, it was 3 years ago.
What was it about you in a car that made everybody freak out?
I was going to my chef pick up my food.
No, hold
and
on.
I was
no,
looking
you weren't.
For yeah, I did.
Not next to the your chef. Don't live next to the White House.
Well, I had a wrong address. I was going to wrong spot. And I stopped on the side. I stopped. Well, first of all, I was on the side of the White House, so I didn't know it was from the office side. So I stopped on the side, and you know, I didn't know that the gate was like to a kind of to the whole White House complex.
Yeah,
I stopped just to make a phone call. And I had a bunch of cops just jumping out of the cars and.
What,
I mean,
1600 Pennsylvania Avenue. What's the problem? Oh, this isn't it. This isn't where my chef lives.
No, and it was frightening. I mean, it was crazy. So
I imagine that your address written down was the address of the White House.
And no,
it didn't.
No,
like,
no, I was going towards
1600
the address where
Panama.
I was going towards that address where I was supposed to go, but I just stopped on the side next to the White House, and I didn't turn off the car. I didn't park the car. I was sitting in the car. And like I said, it was just 15, 20 seconds later, I had a bunch of cops just, stopped. Like, they blocked me pretty much. The funniest guy was just the cop on the bike. In the same motion, he jumped out of the bike and pulled the flashlight and gun at the same time. And the bike rode out to the side for like 20, 30 feet and just hit the tree and fall down on the ground.
That tree just won $40 million.
So it was funny. That cop was really impressive, actually, how quickly he did that. But, and then you had a million questions. What you doing here? Why you here? Who you work for? Why did you park on the side right here?
You are a brother.
So then I was just... And then I was really nervous at that point.
Part of town, youngster.
They checked the car. They literally just scanned my car from A to from
dogs come out. You had the dogs.
Yeah, they had the dogs. The dogs check out everything, and I was like Jesus Christ, like
any Malteses or
no.
Pomeranians? They have those weird like not. Was it just a German Shepherd or sometimes
the German Shepherd? Yeah,
they got like a special bomb breed of dog that I don't know what it is. I think it's Belgian. I've never seen it before. I saw it at the Super Bowl in New Orleans. I used to train dogs. Like, I've never seen this dog before in my life. And I worked at Fox. They had them all over the lot post 9/11. And I go, like, how accurate is it? Because a lot of bloodhounds just run around the woods all day and give you like false, And the guy gave me a pouch of gunpowder, Todd. And he goes, you put this anywhere you want. I go all the way down the hallway. I don't know if you ever been over to Fox. You've been there, like the avocado room. I'm on the first floor. I go all the way down past makeup into my dressing room, and I put it down the sink of the dressing room. And I wait there about 5 minutes. I go back down the hall. I go in two other dressing rooms in case the dog's fucking watching me.
Right.
In case he's a connected dot kind of dog.
Right.
So I go back, but they're not even there. I go circle back. He's talking to somebody outside. I go, all right. I hit it. And he goes, all right. Go on, boy. Go. That fucking dog.
Straight
into
right.
my dressing room, pushed the door open with his hands, his paws, and put his nose into the sink and just growled. And I went, all right.
That's crazy.
Don't invite Gilbert Arenas today.
Right.
It's full circle.
So, yeah, that was my first experience with Washington. And obviously, the traffic.
What's the most American thing? Like, what's the thing that made you go, wow, this is so American? Because we lose sight of it.
Oh, what's the most American? Well, you guys eat hamburgers for lunch or dinners. Hamburgers, like
at least we drink brown,
and then you drink a lot of brown. But no,
hamburgers.
Yeah, you guys eat a lot of hamburgers. There's a lot of fast foods. Like,
but
it's
Poland's
crazy.
Near Germany, where it's like that's hamburgers.
Or what you guys do is which is completely American stuff. Is a baseball game or football game or I haven't seen basketball games, but football game, basketball games. People come 3 hours before and they do barbecue on a parking lot.
They don't do that in Poland? Too cold?
No, we don't do that.
You'd be near a fire,
we
though.
We go
into
a restaurant and we eat in a restaurant or we eat at home. We just don't do
you
that.
Think you're better than me?
And then recently we had the solar eclipse.
That's very American.
Very American. And I was forced to go and see that.
Wait, how is that American? It's space.
No, what I'm trying to say is, so when we get there, I went there with my family. I went there to see the solar eclipse. I drove 450 miles to see this for a minute 30 seconds, which was cool.
Why did you drive when all you had to do was look up?
They made me do it.
You're closer to the sun.
She made me do it.
She made me do it.
There you go. Now you got the right answer.
Where'd you drive to?
I had to go from Florida, from Orlando to South Carolina, which is 450 miles.
According to who? You're a grown-ass man. You make millions of dollars. Going to go to the International Basketball Hall of Fame.
Listen.
Somebody, I get it. Oh,
listen.
Somebody's not single.
Right, somebody's not single.
No, this is where I'm from. Happy. I want to be a Gamecock. Come watch the sun from here. It's better.
Happy lady, happy life, you know?
You're right.
Right, so that's what you had to do, and then...
hold on.
Then you had to come back for 450 miles back. So in one day, I made 900 miles, which was really cool. I was really happy to do that.
That's actually a great drive to hit Florida. Because you got that I-95. It's just all six fucking hours.
All
like, Jesus Christ, this is bullshit. But when you go through South Carolina, I think it's fantastic, actually.
Yeah.
I got your back.
So when you get there, I did get there, you know, probably 2 hours before. And what happened? The same thing. You have about 300 cars standing on the big open space, and everybody's doing grilling, doing barbecue, drinking beers, throwing a football around, you know. I mean, it's just crazy. I know what it is.
I know what the word for that is. Americans are great at hype. We love hype.
Oh,
we go early to hype it ourselves.
You're like
with other guys. Like, can you believe we're going to go see a fucking Dodger game? Like, yeah, we were just here last month.
They're here all the time. That's huge. And
we're
going to
eat, but we're going to eat there.
Yeah, you guys are very hyped for sports, basically. I mean, I can't imagine that you have college games and you guys have 20,000, 30,000, you know, the NCAA finals you have at the football stadium where you guys, you know, filling out 80,000 people, 100,000 people. I mean, that's crazy. I can't imagine there's any sport or any team in Poland that would fill out the arena, 100,000 people. I mean, that's crazy.
Really?
Yeah,
it seems like athletics in Poland, because your academies and you said you want another Polish NBA basketball player.
I would love to.
It seems like, I was talking to my buddy today, I said, like, there's certain areas, like, if you get a guy like you out of Poland, that's some high analytics. Like, no, there's a guy in Poland. We're going to go see him.
Well, yeah.
Like, Croatia's on the map. Like, the former Yugoslavia was already on the map.
Right,
like, you mentioned the 76 Olympics. They were up and running under the
scouts and everybody, right.
Like, C.J. McCollum, like, fucking Lehigh. That's by where that's a smarty art school. Like, Lehigh.
Right.
Are you aware of, what age are you aware that people not from Poland are watching you play basketball, and that's got you probably played worse at first because you're so aware of your body and what you're doing and your technique.
Well, the biggest adjustment was in NBA finals. I mean, also it was like it was a good and a bad experience at the same time. Good, obviously, because I was in NBA finals and I was
Magic.
Excited that with the Magic, and I was excited
was Paul Pierce talking to Nick Anderson on the free throw line?
No, we lost to Lakers back then. We beat Boston and then we went to the finals against Lakers. No, I'm sorry, we beat Cleveland and then we went to NBA finals where we lost to Lakers 4-1. But I remember the day when, you know, day before the game you have the media day, and it's usually you have a media day in front of the locker room on the little wall. You have the little banner. You're standing on the banner. Well, the NBA finals, you have about 300 to 400, you know, reporters on the main court. And you have like three different podiums where, you know, players just walking around and you are available for an hour to talk to the media. And you have about 400 people and you have, you know, 250 probably Chinese, Asian people coming to you, approaching you, asking you questions, and you can't understand the question, what he's saying.
Yeah, English isn't even your
first
language.
Because his English is not right.
His
English is not good.
Chinese coming at you.
So then, you know, and at that point I was like, wow, it's cool. Like, entire world is watching me right now. That was obviously amazing. But then at the same time, you've been spoiled. You know, in my second year in the league, you're making NBA finals. You're thinking like, yeah, you know, Coach Van Gundy saying like, listen, enjoy that moment. This is a huge moment. Enjoy this moment. This is the best feeling you can have to be in NBA finals. You know, one day you might be on the losing team. Nah, like, yeah, I'll be fine.
No, did it affect your play?
to, yeah, I mean, obviously I was, you know, I mean,
you were brand new, so I'm cutting you a lot of slack.
Yeah, I mean,
Nick
was second year.
Those four free throws, you let that one go by.
I was second year in the league back then, so I was just getting on the court. I was just so hyped that I could probably jump out of the gym and I could run for hours and I would never get tired, but I just didn't know what I was doing. Obviously, set screens, you know, get some blocks, rebounds, and just hustle up as much as you can. So that's what I was doing. But
it's all you know how to do, really. Not as an insult at all. Like, that's your absolute expertise, right?
Well, that's basketball. Obviously, right.
So then you get in the finals, and you just said, I don't even know what I'm doing.
Like, he's just running up and down because there's so many things. Like, every possession, every cut, every movement,
every
pass.
If it was a regular season game, you would never think, like, what do I do here? It would be just a normal day.
It would be a normal day. It would be just a regular.
Baron Davis strikes me as the guy, like, or, well, Paul Pierce, obviously, when you hit the finals, like, fuck it, it's on.
It's on, like, right? So that's what people were saying. It's on. And then you sometimes you see completely different players in NBA finals or in playoffs.
Who played the best? Who, like, in that moment did you say, wait, there's a separation between regular season guy and finals guy? Like, holy shit.
Well, the veterans. I mean, the veterans are,
wow.
You know, veterans, I don't think veterans, you know, certain veterans, I don't think they play the same way in regular season the way they play in playoffs.
No, yeah.
I mean, they just, like you said, it's on. So they will literally die for every ball. They're going to, you know, play every defensively. They're going to play every possession. You know, they're going to do everything that's necessary to win the game because those games count. You know, some veterans will, you know, especially older guys, they might take some nights off, you know, during the regular season because they're older.
Yeah.
But
we all do.
I don't. Well, I don't. I try and play my, you know,
all right, 110%. Like, I don't either. So I was trying to include America.
Right. But
isolate my audience.
That's what happened. And I've been spoiled, you know, second year I've been spoiled. And, you know, Coach Van Gundy told me that, you know, Stan said, you know, enjoy that moment, you know.
How long did you think he was Ron Jeremy before you realized he was not an old
Oh, man, come on. Stop, man.
Who in that final did you see separate themselves up? Like, Nick Anderson was the GOAT. Not greatest of all time, like bad.
Well, Nick,
like,
hold on. Nick Anderson was retired at that point.
Oh.
He didn't play with me.
Four references. Nobody stopped me. When they went to the finals with Nick Anderson,
that was with Shaq.
With Penny and Shaq.
There was,
he missed four free throws to close the game. It was like, oh, my God. Like, that's never happened ever. Free throws. That Magic team was who?
That was Brian Hill. Coach was Brian Hill. Penny Hardaway, Shaq. And, oh, wow. That was 92?
You just mentioned the same guy as I mentioned. You weren't playing in 92. What's the matter?
No, I was 8 years old.
You said 92. I'm asking who was on your finals team.
Oh, my finals team was Dwight Howard. Jameer, Rashard Lewis, Hedo. And then Courtney Lee was starting at a two. And off the bench, we had J.J. Redick, Ryan Anderson. Was me.
That's the losing team.
Yeah, and we lost the team. And then we had Anthony Johnson, and we had Rafael Alston. We had Skip Lou, T. Lou, the Cleveland coach now. And Ryan Anderson was there with us. Maybe Ryan Anderson or Tony Battee was there with us. I don't remember now.
But that's like the most stacked team. Like,
we were just crazy.
It was
a
muscle bound team. And
well,
we were
winning 50 plus games easily every year for like four straight years.
When you're in the East, there is such a separate. Like, the top 25 players in the NBA, like LeBron's in the East. Everybody else now is in the West. When you go play the West, is it like, whoa, like, this is different than going up and down the Eastern Seaboard? Because you know what you're going to get. Like, you know, you're looking at Boston, you're looking at the Wiz. You're looking at Cleveland, obviously.
Right.
You go, and then we can just kind of like slapdick around through Charlotte and all these different. I know you don't, but when you go to the West and you got to make that swing, is it what we all think? Like, it's so much more dominant and better. Do you notice an uptick in, like, wow?
Yeah, obviously. You know, you don't. When you go, you got most of the time you have two West Coast trips, like completely on the West. Obviously, you have Texas where you have the third trip. Most of the time you have Dallas, Houston, and San Antonio at the same time. But, you know, those two West Coast trips where you go to LA and then you go, for example, Golden State, Utah, and Sacramento. And then next trip you do again LA, second team in LA, and then you go, you know, Phoenix and, you know, a few other teams. Then
a lot of partying.
Obviously,
you go to LA, Warriors got curb stomped by like a Lakers team with 27.
Obviously, it's fun. Obviously, it's fun to go and we hate the trip. You know, it's about 4 or 5 hour flight, but you know, everybody has to do it. But when you get there, then you just you're trying to play as best as you can. But
do you notice wow, they're better than what I'm used to.
No. Okay. I don't think so. No, I mean, obviously the record is, impressive. But at the end, Golden State, we almost beat Golden State at home. I mean,
you guys have a great team. I really like your team. And
we beat them. Oh, maybe I don't
still like your team, whether you beat them or not.
Yeah, it was just
you guys like it. It when you have a new coach. Is it your – do you feel a response – you strike me as a guy that you go out of your way to go see the coach and go, so let me just tell you hi. Anything you need, let me know. Instead of, like, the coach having to come to you. Like, how does it usually work?
Yeah, I mean, at that point, when Scotty joined the team, it was obviously in the offseason, so he decided to fly in and see everybody from the starting lineup, first, and then see the other guys. So that was
sure went to Kevin Durant's mom's house first.
Very classy. No, I don't think so. But it was very classy on his part, and he came to Orlando. We went for dinner. We talked about a lot of different things, and
we came just to see you.
Yeah, he basically came to see me, which was
at your crib.
Very, 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 very nice of him. Like I said,
there can't be that much of a difference in philosophy. Like, there's players, coaches, there's disciplinarians. Like, but then like a Popovich doesn't have to be a disciplinarian because you don't want to let him down. You don't want to be that one fucking spur.
Basically, you don't want to let your coach down. I mean, it doesn't matter who it is, the coach. You don't want to let him down. There are certain coaches you want to play for, and you're gonna love them. I mean, there are certain coaches like Stan. I mean, as far as I know, people don't like to play with Stan. But if I could, I'd probably do again. And guess what? I'll probably curse him out the first week, of playing for him. But at the end of the day, I would love to play for him because he's gonna get you ready for the game. Like, he's gonna put you in a situation to be successful. The best thing
to
happen to me.
How is a guy that looks like Ron Jeremy? Serious question.
Listen, because he's just
an all-world athlete, ready to play basketball. Like, how? Like, what is this? Because we don't know. I'm being serious.
I'm just telling you
that. Get you ready for the game. How are you gonna? I know, like, mentally, it's a whole thing, and they're experts. Some guys are such experts at just honing in your focus. Right. But like, how does he get you?
He's
like,
gonna hold
you. Fucking John Wall, ready for
he's
playoff.
Gonna
like,
hold,
he's
gonna hold you Scottie accountable. He's gonna hold you accountable for everything you do. I mean, I was a witness for 4 years. I've seen it.
Is that in practice? Like
in
just
practice
to
or
like,
even games? He will just literally after 2 minutes of running the game, he will call timeout.
Yeah,
everybody walks
quick,
into the game
hook, yeah.
to the bench, and he will walk to the guy straight on the court, and he will say to him, which was very funny because he's talking to 7 foot guy who's
he's
about 270 pounds, and beefed up, and Stan looks 5'5" or 5'5½ maybe, and
turtleneck,
right? And he's yelling at him like he's about to rip his head off. He say, "You, the last possession, you didn't sprint 100%. This is bullshit. You're not giving me 110%.
That could work against him. That could make a guy go, I don't want to fucking
say,
run.
Are you
going to
play? Do you want to play, or you want to go home?" And it's just and say, "Answer this question. Did you do 100%?" And then you just say, "You know what? I probably could go faster." Said, "So next time I need you to go faster." So he just holds you accountable for everything. And guess what? I don't know how the guy do that, but 82 games in the season.
You got lucky him being your first coach.
I was blessed to have him as my coach because I learned the discipline. I learned to be the right in the right time and the right. I learned to be on time to work on my craft. I learned to be professional about everything I do. And trust me, these days you have kids coming into the league. They think they supposed to get paid right away.
Yeah.
They supposed to get playing time. They should get minutes. They don't play all of a sudden 3, 4, 5 games. They asking for trades. Like, it's crazy, man.
That's the biggest. Hook crazy. And caveat that the coach has is minutes. And I don't think fans realize that coach controls 2, 18, 36. You're such a high, you're fucking hungover. Here's 46 minutes. Have fun, asshole.
Yeah,
I hope you fucking pass
out. We had a situation when we go, Stan will say this to us. I remember this like it was yesterday. He said, "Okay, guys, we're going to Miami. I know the South Beach. I've been there. I beg you, just control yourself. Yeah, yeah, sure, coach. Yeah, yeah, we will. You know, and the same day, half the guys in the South Beach, you know. So,
yeah.
I mean, that's just how it is. But, listen, coach
then
is
he goes out to like a glory hole.
Coach is not stupid. You know, coaches knows more than you think. I mean, this is just how it is around the league.
MC13.com.pl, and you're going to see, are you on Twitter?
Yes, I am.
How about not? I asked you all this before we started. You're Gortat. Who cares?
Twitter, M. Gortat.
Why do you call it that?
No, M. Gortat.
At M. Gortat.
Yeah, at M. Gortat.
I can only say your name
Instagram,
like a robot.
M. Gortat 13.
Marcin Gortat.
Yes. Gortat.
M. Gortat. That sounds like it should be like one of the Star Wars droids. Like, what did you do with M. Gortat? I don't know. I gave it to Scotty Brooks.
I'm not.
Look, brother, yeah, like we're just scratching the surface here. I could talk to you all day. And I think Olden Polonies was the last center we had on. And he said something that reminded me of you when you're in here. And that's like now with all the guys, like AAU ball, the one and done, like these guys shouldn't even be in a college. Like it's just, we all just turn the other way. Like just, we all know it's a stepping stone to the NBA. They want to be seen on TV. They want a reality show. He goes, if you want to make it in the NBA, they go, how do I make it in the NBA? He goes, hoop. Ball the fuck out. He goes, you want to? I was like, damn. Olden was just like, you're a guy that just stayed in there and just hoop. Like, you're a great NBA center. It's like nothing was handed to you. You had to earn it. You got tossed around to two different towns.
I can tell you those two quick Brandon Malone, my coach that was Stan's assistant coach in Orlando. He was responsible for me to working with me.
Why is that?
The greatest thing for him was after every game warm up or before the game warm up or after practice to sit down with him because he was older gentleman. So he after workout after 1 hour workout we were always sitting down and he would talk to me. I was always waiting for those conversations with him and he would give me a great conversation, like great stories. And he would tell me, you know what's the hardest thing in NBA? To come to the gym when nobody sees you. It's easy to play a basketball game when you have, models up front sitting, you have actresses, you have Jack Nicholson watching you in the front row. It's cool when you have ladies, cheerleaders, right? Everybody, cameras, the entire world is watching you. But go at 6 or 7 o'clock in the morning when there's nobody. There's no flashes, no cameras, no women. Just, damn, you don't even have anybody to pass you the ball. That's the time. Go to the gym and play and work out with the same energy like you play in a game. If you can succeed at that point, if you can do that, come at 7 o'clock in the morning, that's a huge step towards being successful. And that's what he told me. Other thing, there was during the practice. It was Saturday or whatever, Saturday or Sunday. I came down and he told, it was weekend. Basically on the weekend, in the off season, on the weekend, nobody's working out. But I said, coach, let's come on Saturday. Let's work out. I want to get better. So I'm showing up at the gym. And I ain't going to lie. I was doing kind of everything halfway speed. I was basically bullshitting. So he stops me and said, okay, hold on, young man. So this is what it is. So you ask me to come here on Saturday. I brought you two guys that rebound the ball for you. You want to get better. You wasting my time and you wasting your time. So how are you going to work out? Or you going to give me 110% game speed and you ain't going to bullshit and we're going to do this for 30, 45 minutes and we're going to go home happy that we did get better today? Or we're going to finish this shit right now because this is not a workout. So how is it going to be? Take 2 minutes, walk, all the way to back, go to the court, the other side of the court and come back and let me know what you want to do. So then you're walking towards that, towards the baseline and you're thinking like, damn, I disappoint my old man.
Looking at a white cement wall.
Like it's just screw. I'm like, I don't want to do that. The guy is always supporting me. He always, backing me up. So, yeah, I'll give a better effort. So then you come and say, yo, coach, apologize. I will do better. Let's do it. Let's repeat all the exercise we did, all the drills.
So you want to start over?
I start over the last 15 minutes drills. Let's do it again. And then we just did it. Obviously, I was worn out. it was the last Saturday on the off season that I worked out. I never did it again on Saturdays, but yeah, I did it. And those were two lessons I took it really, really deep at the beginning of my career. And I learned that, you know, playing in front of 20,000 people is it's a cherry on the cake.
Yeah,
that's easy job. But come when nobody sees you, I mean, you can go to the weight room and you can work on those bands. You can work on, you know, little dumbbells, you know, lift it up. But shit, you want to work out? Do the workout that when you're done, you're about to puke. When you're done, your joints are hurting. Your knees, your back, your wrist, your ankles, everything hurts you. That's the workout. And if you're telling you were working hard because you're over there for 1 hour, nah. I know people that go for 30 minutes. But when you see this work, that the workout for 30 minutes they do, you literally have a goosebumps on your back. If I see Paul Pierce coming in at age 38 and the guy start workout with 15 minutes jump rope, then he lifts with me and he's trying to keep up with me in the weight room. And, you know, 3 years ago I was in the even better shape. Then come on, man. I mean, just respect. Respect for Paul Pierce.
I mean, it's just so.
I learned that. I learned it from the veterans, and this is the way I was growing.
Brandon
the
Malone,
way I was raised.
And this is for the listeners, and we'll wrap on that. It's from the Book of John too. Like, you know, pray in private. Don't make a show of it. What's the work you're doing, listeners, when nobody's looking? Like, what are you doing when nobody, not on Twitter, not your Instagram, whatever you're doing, what are you doing when nobody knows you're getting better at it? Like, examine that. Take a look. Man, March. That's nice, man. Washington Wizards, it's a team to watch in the East. One of the best backcourts in basketball, but that's the Polish hammer anchoring that paint. There's a little, if you go in there, the paint kind of slopes towards the baseline from your big ass holding it down, brother, because of that work.
I got over 500 screens a day with Brad and John, so it's just part of my life, you know.
I appreciate you coming in, man. Yeah, you do the dirty work, man, and it's not like the Oakley, like, hey, look at him doing all that dirty work. It's just these guys get their shots off for a reason. I work for that,
and you know, that's pretty good stuff. That actually, one of the journalists told me recently. I'm going to finish on that too. In NBA history, there's only two NBA players that survived with a 57 pick for 10 plus years in the league. Two NBA players. One of them is your friend. You already mentioned him. 57.
I didn't know he was that deep. I would have broken his balls about it. Because Olden was that deep.
Manu Ginobili.
Oh, Manu Ginobili. I'm like, Olden Polynes wasn't a 57.
Manu Ginobili and me.
Remember the commissioner saying
Nobody
his name?
Nobody else. Not I.
Manny Ginobili. You have no idea how to say it. It's like his manager. It's so, not like, like Polish is hard.
Only us two was in the league that survived that.
And you're both know, still, he's still in the league with his meat
coaster.
I mean,
we had some guys that survived a year or two.
10 years.
Not 10 years.
So. And you got,
the only difference is he got what, three championships or four? I got none, but it's
hey, man, you know, right, but, let's let Tim Duncan play the floor. Would you, you know, you'll be all right.
I'm all right. I can live. I'm good.
Let's do this. Let's make sure my man March gets another contract, because this ain't your last contract, my man.
No, you're talking.
It's all about the next contract. So you keep that weight off, eat right, do your thing, and do that work when nobody's looking, brother.
Right.
I'm always thinking about your good health.
Thank you.
I love it, man. March, hook him up. M. Gortat. On Twitter and mgortat13 on the Instagram. Brother, put your name on it.
I like this.
To all the ladies in the place with style and grace, allow me to lace these lyrical douches in your bushes. Who rock grooves and make moves with all the mommies? The back of the club, sipping my wet is where you find me. The back of the club, macking holes, my crew's behind me. Mad question asking, blunt passing, music lasting. But I just can't quit, because one of these homies Biggie got to creep with, sleep with, keep the ep a secret. Why not? Why blow up my spot? Because we both got hot. Now check it, I got more Mac than Craig and in the bed. Believe me, sweetie, I got enough to feed the needy. No need to be greedy. I got mad friends with Benzes, see notes by the layers. True fucking players. Jump in the Rover and come over. Tell your friends, jump in the GF3. I got the chronic by the tree.